go back over 100, but it looks like with so much illness and all, we're not going to make it. But we are very appreciative of the attendance that we have here. Our prayer list is very, very long. I appreciate so much that Tommy mentioned so many by name, but we have even others who we did not mention by name, and we want them to know that we are praying for them also. If you will, at this time, go ahead and mark your song books to number 927. And let me announce in advance, this is a very short three-verse song, so if you would like to respond, please do so at that time. Brethren, the first few things that I say in this lesson, I believe are going to be very sad and depressing. But I assure you, it won't stay that way for long. I want to begin with the phrase that I have chosen as the title of this lesson, get a life. Now, a lot of times when we hear that phrase used, it's used negatively. And I think you understand how it's used negatively. You know, somebody gets all up in your business. You know what I'm talking about? They get all up in your business, and you don't want them up in your business. So you give them that hand. I don't think that's popular anymore, but you give them that hand, and you say, get a life. In other words, leave me alone. Get your own life. Well, that's not how I'm going to use the word today. In fact, just the opposite. I'm going to encourage you to get a life. I'm going to encourage you to get a life that God has planned for you. A life filled with promises and rewards and blessings. And realize that everything that has been in our lives or will be in our lives or can be in our lives is given to us by God. Now, if I ask you a question, what is it that you want in life? How would you respond? What is it that you want in life? In fact, let me ask you, what is it you want in life? I'm sure some of you are thinking about marriage. You want a successful marriage. I'm sure some of you are thinking about raising your children, seeing them graduate from high school, go off to the military, get a job, go to college, thinking that they're going to go away, but they never go away. Or maybe your grandchildren, that you want to stay as much with you as you can. Maybe that's what you're thinking about. Maybe you're thinking about advancement in the workplace. Maybe you're thinking about retirement. All of those are good, all of those are justified, but let's narrow the question down even more. What if I ask you about right now? Not how your marriage or your children or your job or your retirement is going to be. What if I ask you about right now? Are you happy right now? Are you content right now? Or is there something that needs to come into your life to make you happy and content? Are you making the most out of your life? Or does it seem at times that you're just spinning your wheels? Just roaming around. As the scripture said, just grasping for the wind. Let me introduce now our text. Our text is going to be James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. James writes, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. And we realize that. We do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is our life? James says it's just like a vapor, a little puff of cloud, a little puff of smoke. It appears for a little time and then it goes away. Instead, James says, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, if the Lord is willing, we're going to do this or that. Now, brethren, I don't know if you truly realize this, and probably it depends on your age or your maturity. In the overall scheme of things, looking at the big picture, we really don't have much time to make ourselves something. We really don't have time to make our lives count for something. Therefore, we need to use our time wisely. In order to make our lives count, we need to use our time wisely. And I do think that all of us want to live a life that people will remember us and remember the good. You know, it seems like in history, we always remember the bad. We want to be remembered. We want to be remembered good. And that's why we work so hard at making our marriages successful. That's why we work so hard at raising our children. That's why we work so hard in the workforce. We want our lives to count. And I believe, either consciously or unconsciously, we're all searching for the meaning of our existence. There's bound to be a reason why I am living this life. There's bound to be a purpose. I've got to find the purpose of God's plan, because I want to be needed now. I don't want to live a selfish life now. And I want people to remember me. Isn't that pretty much all of our feelings? The psalmist certainly felt that way in Psalm 16, verse 11. You, O Lord, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. Jesus also felt this way in John 10, verse 10. He said, the thief, he was talking about a sheepfold, the thief cometh to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, but I have come not only that you can have life, but that you can have the abundant life. Now, brethren, in those two scriptures, there is implied promises. David states emphatically, God wants to help us. And Jesus says the same thing. He wants us to have a good life. But more than that, spiritually speaking, he wants us to have an abundant life. And that's not a hollow promise at all. It's real because it's given by God. Now, let's cut to the chase. What do we need in order to receive the abundant life of which Jesus speaks? What do we need? First of all, we need to find our purpose in God's plan. Now, there are a lot of people in society that are looking for their purpose in life. But we need to look for our purpose in God's plan. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who accepts the law. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to what we do, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time began. Brethren, without a purpose in our life, without God's purpose in our life, and I hope you understand what I'm about to say, it's just like we're chasing unicorns and rainbows. And regardless of what you have heard, there's no such thing as a unicorn. And there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I think Solomon is the classic example of all of this. This was his conclusion. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 10 and 11. He said, whatever his eyes desired, he did not keep from them. He was so wealthy. He was so powerful. Whatever he saw that he wanted, he just took it. He said, I did not withhold from my heart any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. You remember, he built the temple. He built his own house also. And this was my reward from all my labor. He said, then I looked on all the works of my that my hands had done, and on all the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity, grasping for the wind, reaching for something that's just not there. He wanted a purpose in life. He wanted a spiritual purpose in life. But when he could not find it the way he wanted it, he departed from God. When he lost sight of God's purpose, the things in his life, all the many things in his life, became worthless and futile. And as a result, he became dissatisfied to the point that he said, vanity of vanities, all things, all of life is just vanity. Brethren, we need to look at God's purpose for our life. We need to see the things he wants us to do as God's purpose in our life. Otherwise, we're going to be looking for unicorns, and they're just not there. Let me read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the works that God has done from the beginning to end. Even Solomon, as wise as he was, realized he could not see everything from the beginning of time to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is, and it is, a gift from God. Brethren, regardless of how hard we work, everything we have is a gift from God. Regardless of how much money we make, everything is a gift from God. We must find God's purpose in our life. Number two, we need to find contentment. Very familiar scripture, Philippians 4, beginning with verse 11, reading through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith, or to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry. He's covering all the scenarios here, both to abound and suffer need. And then he says, this is why I can do that. This is why I can find contentment. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Brethren, we need to echo those words in our life concerning contentment. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's sure that we'll take nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we need to be content. Brethren, something else that we have heard all of our lives that's just not true. The grass is not really greener on the other side of the fence. In fact, more often than not, it's the same grass. So just if that's our desire for contentment, to change fields from time to time, we're not going to find what we're looking for. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For the Lord himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What a good question. What can man do to us? Nothing. He might hurt us. He might imprison us. He might kill us. But he's not going to rob us of our soul. But the society in which we live promotes covetousness and envy and jealousy is promoted everywhere we go. You read the sports page, it's like reading the Wall Street Journal. This baseball player wants $30 million to play baseball this year. Well, if he gets 30, this other guy's going to want 31. Then this other one's going to want 32, and on. Brethren, who can spend $30 million in a year? Well, I guess it's possible, but it's certainly not feasible. As a result, we are never content. We compare our homes. We compare our vehicles. We compare our clothing. It should not be. We need to be content. But if we're always trying to keep up with the Joneses, we'll never find the contentment that God wants for us. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And realizing that, we must accept God's placement. Ever so often, I like to mention divine providence, the providence of God. And I always say, if you've heard me talk about this before, I always say, I cannot fully explain God's providence, but I believe it with all of my heart. Brethren, God opens doors in our lives. He wants us to go through. We're free moral agents. We can either decide to go through that door or not, but He wants us to. He wants to get us where He wants us to be. And we need to realize that. And we need to protect that opportunity. And we need to do it to the best of our ability. Whether we're the boss or the worker, whether we're the teacher or the student, whether we're married or not, whether we have children or not, whether we're a preacher or not, we need to be content where we are. The Bible says if we are, then our lives are a sweet-smelling fragrance. I like the King James, a sweet-smelling savor. James 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord will lift us up. And our final point, we talked about purpose, we talked about contentment, but in order to do that, we've got to make an evaluation. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5 should cause us to make that personal evaluation. The wise man wrote, and this is the New King James translation, "Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding, cease." Don't overwork. Stop from overworking if our sole desire is to be rich. "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." And a newer translation says, "Give up trying to be overly successful. It will cause you to lose sight of godliness. Money flies away like an eagle, never to be seen again." Now, brethren, there's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life with our money. But money is designed to enhance our life and not to be our life. Proverbs 21:5, "The plans of the diligent lead to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, their life leads to poverty." Purpose. We need to find God's purpose. Contentment. We need to learn to live within our means and be content with what God has blessed us. And to do that, we need to have a personal evaluation. Paul says, "Examine your own selves and prove if you are in the faith." And these will assure us that when we do get a life, it will be a life like God wants us to have. At this time, we want to extend the Lord's invitation. The Lord's invitation is our purpose in life. It's God's purpose for us. Only in it can we find contentment. And we need to do an evaluation to see if we're in the Lord or not. So at this time, if you find yourselves out of the Lord, you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, or if you've allowed something to come between you and God, then the invitation is for you. We'll get Barry to come up and greet you. If you need to, please respond. Respond quickly, because 927, the verses go by very quickly. We'll sing all three verses. If you need to, won't you come as we stand and sing?